Comic Timing is proudly sponsored by the New York Comic Con. New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has double the space with more gaming and anime for 2007. Come to the Jacob Javits Center February 23rd to 25th and experience the biggest pop culture event in New York City, featuring comics, anime, manga, graphic novels, video games, trading card games, RPGs, MMOs, toys, movies, TV, celebrities, and more. Guest of honors include Stan Lee, Jeff Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, and George Perez, with many more to be announced. For a complete list of guests, as well as show information, please visit nycomiccon.com. Buy your tickets online now to ensure your spot for the 2007 show. Tickets are available now at a discounted rate for advance purchase at nycomiccon.com. You can also book your travel arrangements online now on the travel page of the website. Don't miss out on the 2007 New York Comic Con. Visit our website to get all the information you need.
Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Prepare yourself for an in-depth look at all your favorite villains, one villain at a time. It is the Rogues Gallery with the man down under himself, Damian Smith. Here now, the Rogues Gallery.
Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to a special edition of Comic Timing. This is a special edition because, well, this is part of our episode 25 celebration, and it's also Rogues Gallery number 2. I'm going to be releasing Rogues Gallery as a separate mini-podcast from now on, so whenever Damian is ready to do that, he can go ahead and do so, and he is ready to do that today. So back with us is Damian Smith, all the way from Australia, for the Rogues Gallery. Damian, how are you?
Not bad. Yourself?
Doing pretty well. I had a nice day over here in front of the computer and ready to talk some comics. And you certainly have a good villain to talk about today now, don't you?
Oh, yes. So first up, I think we should let Equinox know he should send his wife out of the room.
Uh-oh, look out. Yeah, we got the smooth talker back. So whatever you do, Equinox, don't let her listen or she might fall for somebody. You've got your fans, man. You've got your fans.
Yeah, well, there's at least one of them. So
There you go.
I want to just look at the original Doctor Doom, not any of the other incarnations, the Ultimate, the 2099, or any others.
Or Christoph.
Because that would just take too long.
I certainly agree with that statement. So what do you got for us on Mr. Doom?
Okay, well, first up, just to go with details about him, his real name is Victor Von Doom. His first appearance was in Fantastic Four number 5 from July 1962. He was created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Now, powers are quite interesting. He's a genius level in intellect. He's created working time machines, doom bots, his devices to make people get superpowers as well, which is something I think Lex Luthor needs to know about.
Well, that's what happens when you're in different universes. You can't rely on each other.
Yeah. They need another amalgam between the two of them. That would be interesting. He has the ability to exchange consciousness with any humanoid he makes eye contact with. He's also a magic user. He has blasts of mystical energy. He can create protective energy shields. He can ensnare opponents in energy bands and create portals to other planes of existence. And then finally, he's got his powered armor, which gives him super strength, invulnerability, and he also gives him jets for flight.
He also slices, dices, and makes julienne fries.
Yeah. Blender attachments for it. He has three main goals, actually, that he wants to do. First one is the destruction of Reed Richards. The second one is world domination. And the third one is the liberation of his mother's soul. So far, he's actually managed to do two of them, and one of them he's managed to do numerous times. He's recovered his mother's soul with the help of Doctor Strange, and he's also achieved world domination once by amplifying the mind control power of Purple Man, which is a character I've never heard of before.
Just to give you quick information on Purple Man. Purple Man is a psychic character that appeared most recently in the pages of the Brian Michael Bendis comic Alias, where he has a mean history with Jessica Jones. He's pretty much has amplified mind powers, which allows him to do anything to anybody. And spoilers here for Alias, he actually used those powers to make Jessica Jones his slave for months on end. The type of slave that you usually would not want to be. Let's put it that way. Sex slave, the works, she did everything and everything that could degrade her, Purple Man did. So he has mean, mean powers.
I might have to go look up some of that stuff now, I think. Mm-hmm. But that was actually ended by Namor smashing the device that there connected him to Purple Man to amplify the powers. He also took control of a alternate Earth that he was thrown into by Onslaught way back when. Fantastic Four returned, but Doom stayed to create a planet Doom, which he led the world into an unparalleled prosperity before abdicating and returning to the original Earth. So I think people just looked the wrong way on him. He could do so much for the world.
Well, it's his own personality that I think is his downfall the most, because he's never satisfied. Even when he's, you know, ruling a world, even when he pretty much has peace, he's just always looking for something else. Like, he can never really find that satisfaction. I mean, obviously part of that has to do with the fact that his face is so mangled, but, you know, I mean, it's just this guy just can't get what he wants out of life.
Well, from everything I've read, how mangled actually is his face? Because there's quite a lot of information saying that it's mainly his ego has told him this face was, you know, from the original accident, he had a singular scar on his mm-hmm. face.
Yeah.
Now, okay, after putting on the armor while it was still hot, that would actually do something to you. But, yeah, I'd like to know, because most of the stuff I actually read said that he basically his ego made it worse than what it was, or made him think it was worse than what it was.
Yeah, and that's changed over the years. So a lot of different interpretations of his origin have given different interpretations of just how mangled his face was to start. So the original one by Stan Lee was that just one single scar. I do remember that, but a lot of different guys have said different things over the years.
Well, I'm not mainly a Marvel person. This is really my first in-depth look at him. So, yeah, there was a lot of stuff that I had to sift through to try to get the good stuff out of it.
Nobody has quite a storied history like Doom.
He has quite a few adversaries. Teams that don't like him are mainly the Fantastic Four, the Avengers, and the X-Men. Then you go into the individuals, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Dazzler. You had Squirrel Girl. I don't know how many people you know of her.
I was just going to say that, actually. Squirrel Girl versus Dr. Doom is the most storied and the most kick-ass moment ever in a history of Marvel Comics right there. The fact that Squirrel Girl takes out all the badasses and nobody else can really do it, that's just like, Squirrel Girl is my hero.
After I read that this girl called Squirrel Girl took over, I had to go and look up what had happened, and my God. And then you have Brian Deemer's favorite, Luke Cage, who flew to Latveria to get $200. The one thing that I've always wondered is how much, you know, money worth of fuel did it cost to fly there?
Probably more than $200, I'll guarantee you that.
I wonder if Reed Richards gave Luke Cage a bill afterwards.
He probably did.
And on top of all that, he's actually usurped powers of other people as well. Mm-hmm. He's managed to usurp the powers of the Silver Surfer, of Galactus, of Aaron the Rogue Watcher, and the Beyonder. So I'm amazed that he keeps on getting put back into his place as much as he has.
The villains always lose. The villains always lose, except for a few circumstances. They always get their way eventually, but Doom usually has power for a while before it's taken away from him.
Yeah. Okay, but now we go into his history. I don't want to sort of bore many people with it. He was born to Werner von Doom and Cynthia von Doom. Werner was a noted healer, and his mother was a suspected witch, which, as you find out later, actually from issue 2 of Blade, for those that are actually bothered to read it, this is spoilers for anyone who hasn't, Blade actually went back to save his mother before she was killed, which was, bit of a stretch for the comic, but...
Yeah, which Blade series is this that you're talking about?
The current one.
The current one, okay.
That's had one issue with a vampire Spider-Man, and nobody particularly liked it.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone read more of it.
I didn't even know it came out, so there you go.
Oh, I get it. I just ruined it for you.
Well, no, you just stopped me from picking it up. That's all. Vampire Spider-Man? Jeez.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to know about it. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Yeah, while he was a child, he discovered his mother's magical artifacts, and began studies in the occult as well as developing his scientific abilities. And from there, from his scientific point of view, he actually got recognized by State University in America and was offered a full scholarship. That's where he both met Reed Richards and Ben Grimm. who, as we all know, became Mr. Fantastic and The Thing, respectively.
Really? Huh? Wow.
Yeah, I've spoiled that for everybody now.
Oh, no. Peter Parker, Spider-Man, just in case anybody didn't know that yet. And also, Bruce Banner's the Hulk.
While he was actually studying, he began conducting hazardous extra-dimensional experiments, and the focus of his research was to construct a trans-dimensional projection device. I'm going to be glad when I don't have to say that word anymore. Where he could communicate with his dead mother. There was a flaw in the design, which Reed had pointed out to him. The ego that he already had at that point showed that, no, there wasn't one, he's wrong, there's nothing going to be happening. The machine, actually, he got up and working. It lasted for 2 minutes and 32 seconds, which he discovered that his mother was trapped in Manifesto's hell. Then the device exploded, which caused the scar on his face. But also it's been noted that the scar could have been caused by Manifesto striking him. So how that happened has changed over the years, but we at least know that he actually got scarred.
And I'm sure it's going to change at least 4 more times by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, and then they'll start him again and give him a new origin.
Yep.
Refusing to acknowledge that it was his fault that caused it, Doom blamed Richards for the accident, finding it easy to believe that he sabotaged his work out of jealousy rather than out of him making the mistake. He was later expelled from school. He travelled the world searching for a cure for his scarred face, which he viewed as a symbol of his failure, and eventually he discovered a village of Tibetan monks, which he lived among. He mastered some sorcerous disciplines from them. He took and then later took control of the monastery. He had the monks assist him in crafting his suit of body armor, and once it was finally finished and he was that eager to actually put his armor on, he donned the freshly cast armor before it had properly cooled, ensuring that if his face wasn't damaged, it was damaged now. The suit then became the trademark that everyone's seen him, so with the armored suit, the green cloak and everything. Because of the advancements that he's put into it, he's actually is up there with most of the strongest Marvel superheroes.
So him and Iron Man would certainly have an interesting struggle going on.
Oh, it would be good to watch. Yeah. There's so many fights I'd like to see.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And also, I got to get me some Tibetan monks, seriously, because I've heard so many good things about them. You know, apparently they make good armor and they make good beer, too, from what I've heard.
And if you get the ones that also double as Sherpas, you'll never get lost.
Oh, man.
He managed then to return to his homeland. He overthrew the standing government and crowned himself king, and managed to redirect then the resources to realize the goals that he had for the place, for his actual goals. Briefly, he was deposed by Zorba, a prince of a royal family Doom had previously overthrown. After months in exile, Doom managed to convince the Fantastic Four to aid him in taking back Latveria, and he managed to show them how Zorba's corrupt rule had actually made the nation fall into crime and poverty. Zorba actually learned of Doom's return to the country and set his robot forces to massacre his own people to prevent Doom leading a coup, and realizing Zorba was a greater threat to Latveria than Doom, the Fantastic Four managed to assist him overthrowing Zorba, which Doom killed and reclaimed the throne.
So pretty much that was a choice between one evil despot and another evil despot.
But I think the way he put it to them was the way that he ran, look at how I ran the country to look at how he runs the country. So it's a matter of not who's in power, but how could the population have.
Gotcha.
In the process of reclaiming the throne, though, one of the loyal Latverian subjects was killed before Doom's eyes. So Doom adopted the fallen woman's son, which was Christoph Vernard, and raised the boy as his heir.
And if you think Doom's history is bad, wait until you see Christoph's, because Christoph's, oh my God. That man has been everywhere. That man has done everything, and so much story to tell with that one. But most of it's not even that interesting.
I haven't even looked into him, to be honest. So.
Well, Christoph also does a really good job of magically disappearing, because we haven't really heard from him since the late 90s, and he hasn't really been in comics since, and he probably won't be for a while either.
Until someone can figure out how to do him properly.
Yep. He actually showed up in the MC2 universe. He was actually a character in there where he pretty much became Dr. Doom, but that's obviously a different continuity, and that's not in Marvel continuity at all, but do continue.
Okay, then. Doom considers his genius and leadership to the priceless assets to the Earth, and Christoph is his fallback plan in case that doesn't work. So you could say that actually Christoph is off studying somewhere or something like that, and he's been there for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm. makes so much sense, exactly.
And Doom was actually seemingly killed. Robots enacted the plan and copied Doom's knowledge and memories into Christoph at one point. For a time, Christoph believed himself to actually be Doom, but eventually realized the truth and submitted to the true Doom's rule. Christoph seems to be the half-brother of Reed Richards. None of the three seem to be aware of the fact, which that's the only place I've ever seen that mentioned. So.
It's been hinted at for years, but it's never truly been confirmed or denied. It's pretty much like U.S. policy. It's neither confirmed nor denied.
You'd love it out here instead. In 2003, Doom realized it was unnecessary to keep focusing only on the technology to create his power and started to focus again on the magic birthright that he got from his mother. He sold his childhood sweetheart's soul to a trio of demons in exchange for unlimited magical ability and new leather armor made of her skin. As a direct result of that, Doom was confined in hell, but later recovered by Reed, who intended to trap him in Mobius Strip dimension forever. To effect his escape, Doom's consciousness possessed the Thing, forcing Richards to kill them both. Ben Grimm was later brought back from the dead, and Doom's consciousness returned to his imprisoned body. So that was right up until Civil War, or the start of Civil War.
Although there were a couple stories in between there, however, this was Wade's run. And ever since Wade's run ended, J. Michael Straczynski has been churning his wheels, pretty much. He had a couple of stories that really didn't go anywhere, and Doom wasn't really heard of, but then he returns here with the beginning of Civil War.
Which is probably the first place that I've seen him in years, actually.
Yep.
And that was, as if those who haven't read it, when Thor's hammer, which I'm not going to pronounce the name of...
That would be Mjolnir.
Okay, then. I looked at it and I thought, there's no hope for me to do that.
Mjolnir. The J is silent. Well, actually, not exactly silent. It does like a Y sound, so it's Mjolnir.
Okay. I'm usually good with the Norse stuff too, since I've got a bit of heritage there, but it's not real Norse, that's why. Yeah, as it passed through time and space, it actually breached the gateway to hell, and Doom found it as a way to escape. Actually thought that it was a symbol for himself to actually take on the guise of Thor as well, and he went after the hammer himself, trying to see if he could lift it. And from realizing that no, it wasn't for him, he went back to Latveria and regained control of Latveria yet again.
What a shock there.
I think you'd just walk in like, oh crap, he's back.
You know, when I think about Doom these days, I think about Hussein, actually. How he's the type of guy where everybody in the country seems to either love or hate him, but they always want him in power, and it just never seems to change, pretty much. They always want him there. I'm not sure why, considering that he's an evil despot, but hell.
The only thing that I could, you know, that I would think he's doing the wrong way, he's always going off, like, it's his personal gain to take Reed out. Okay, we all know that. But if he consolidates his power and goes from Latveria to the next country and takes that over and then gets all surrounding and continues like that, he'll have such a large world power.
Sure.
They could do even more untold things.
he could have all of Europe and Asia if he tried hard enough. You know, Eurasia could totally belong to him.
Then the next thing that we know of from Doom was there was an actual present sent to the wedding of Storm and Black Panther from him, though he didn't actually turn up at the wedding himself. And the reason he actually did that because he was trying to form an alliance between the two countries.
Which sort of goes with the idea that we were just stating, that that he could have himself a decent power if he just got an alliance going with a couple of the neighboring countries.
But you've got to love Panther's reaction to it, which is detonating an EMP that blacked out Latveria.
That's like, about that gift you sent me, screw you.
Which actually is a good point on Black Panther's point, because it took out all the Doombots.
Yep.
And actually, I wonder what it would have done to his armor. Would he have been able to actually move himself or not?
It's a good question, actually. I'm pretty sure the mystical power would keep it running, but I'm not entirely certain. It depends on, you know, which idea of his armor is going at the time.
Yeah, because it always makes me wonder, anyone in armor, are they actually using servos or anything like that for leg movements and things like that? Yeah, Doom then attacked Black Panther. His costume turned into battle armor as he fought back. Storm assisted her husband, even though the fight ended in a draw. Panther argued with Storm assisting him, and Doom mocked the two of them, ending the fight and sending them on their way. Yeah, and that's probably the... Actually, apart from in the current Blade series, where a Doombot was sent to find Blade. Actually, it was actually about four of them, if I remember correctly, was sent to find Blade to get him to take up an offer, which Blade then destroyed all of them and then went hunting out Doom himself. And Doom said to him, "This is the only way I could get you here."
Well, also, a bit of a spoiler here, but in the most in the recent Captain America issue that came out very recently, actually, number 23, Doom and Red Skull are shown collaborating, and it's quote-unquote only the beginning of Captain America's suffering. Gee, I wonder if that has something to do with Civil War.
I was wondering about Red Skull. That's one I want to do later on, because he was really an icon from the 40s.
Yeah.
He was Hitler. So yeah. He's one we will be looking at a later date.
Awesome.
But yeah, so he still is around. He still will be around. He seems to be the villain for most of the Marvel Universe, if you don't count the mutants.
Well, and definitely for the Fantastic Four, because, I mean, the Fantastic Four, you know, they have a storied rogues gallery, but if you take Galactus out of the picture, Dr. Doom's really their only major threat.
Yeah. And lastly, for a bit of trivia, just some stuff that I actually picked up along the way. It was actually rumored that Darth Vader was actually inspired by Dr. Doom.
Hmm.
You have Lord Havoc from the Extremists. He's actually based on Dr. Doom. If you any of you guys are South Park fans, Professor Chaos is inspired by Dr. Doom.
Yes, definitely. And Professor Chaos / Butters is my favorite character on South Park.
Oh, yes,
so.
Yes.
Yeah.
He actually isn't a doctor.
I was just going to ask you that. So he's just using the name Doctor because he thinks it sounds cool.
Yes, there's quite a few of them throughout the world.
Yeah.
And lastly, all of us who love the Venture Brothers, there is Baron Vernon Underbite. Yes.
Yeah.
Who is so similar to Dr. Doom, it's not funny.
Well, they also have the Fantastic Four ripoff in Venture Brothers, so it makes sense that they have a Dr. Doom ripoff.
But was it Baron Underbite actually was a classmate and lab partner of Thaddeus Venture? And Underbite blames Venture for violating a so-called sacred pact of lab partners, resulting in the loss of his lower jaw.
Wow. That's terrific. That's absolutely terrific. Although I still wish that Dr. Impossible had at least something to do with that, because he's another one of my favorite characters on the Venture Brothers, because as voiced by Stephen Colbert, he's just so ridiculous, and the whole Reed Richards thing going for him is just perfect.
Yeah, and also in the MMORPG City of Heroes, which I know a few people play. I know that Jim plays it from Raging Bullets. The supervillain named Nemesis is supposed to be a homage to Dr. Doom as well.
Huh.
Which is, yeah, one game that I've been trying desperately to not get into.
Yeah, if I got into that, I would never leave my house.
There's a DC and a Marvel one coming out next year. I'm holding out.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that seems to be all of it. Oh, also, in the Dark Tower series of books by Stephen King, there's actually robots wearing green hoods and Iron Wolf masks. According to one of the main characters, are Doombots.
Really?
Yes. So he's been around long enough, he's actually inspired so many different people. And even people that actually don't know him from the comics, it's like with Spider-Man. You see him and you'll know who he is. Because
yeah.
He's been around since, you know, the early 60s.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. And, I mean, pretty much everybody in the Marvel Universe has faced Dr. Doom at least once. That's like sort of I guess you could say sort of an initiation of of the Marvel Universe. By the way, it's Professor Richard Impossible from Impossible Industries. That's the Reed Richards knockoff in Venture Brothers. So I was getting that wrong before. Professor Richard Impossible. But, yeah, no, I mean, also, there have been so many different incarnations of Doom over the years. I mean, did you see see how he looked like when he had the whole mystical armor thing during Wade's run? I mean, it was totally different. I liked it. There was a lot of controversy with that one because it was just so incredibly different than what he'd been wearing for years. But I liked that whole idea of Doom being more of a mystical guy than a armor guy because, well, there's so many, you know, people who turn to mechanics and armor in the Marvel Universe that I love this spiritual, mystical armor idea because it's just not something you find in the Marvel U.
Well, I remember actually I was going through a lot of my old books just seeing what I had and what I didn't have and what I had no clue that I had. And I actually came across probably half a dozen Doom 2099s, which I've been meaning to get back into and just read the old ones when I've caught up on everything else.
Ellis did an amazing job on that. Ellis was the reason to buy that book. He had a great idea for it. And when he got off the book, that's when the book went downhill.
I think I was buying, like, you'll get 10 books for a dollar from this one place where it was just old secondhand stuff, and it was just, you'd buy so many stuff. Mm-hmm. But also, actually, one last thing I should bring up, Marvel Superheroes was a role-playing game many, many, many years ago. And right next to me at the moment, I've got my Lands of Doctor Doom box set still in mint condition.
Ooh. Wonder what that retails for on eBay.
I haven't found it on there last time I checked.
Interesting.
But I saw some actual, did a search for it, and some web stores still have it up there.
Well, I guess there's enough demand for it to still be in people's inventory, so.
It was pretty hard, because it was made by TSR, and TSR are now gone for any of those who are role-playing gamers, so. That's the problem. If my hands are too many pies, too many interests.
Did you see the Fantastic Four movie?
Yes.
What did you think of Julian McMahon's interpretation of Dr. Doom?
It was better when he put the mask on.
Okay.
I couldn't look at his face. You got to remember, he's another Australian, and he just did not fit in that movie.
Well, also the fact that, I don't know if I like I like the mystical idea for the armor, but it being a mutation from him being in a spaceship with the Fantastic Four, I don't think so. He's not supposed to get his powers through cosmic rays. That's just not the way it works.
I'd like to see where they're going to go with him, you know, in the following ones, to see if they could, you know, bring something better for it, so.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the next one, which is apparently supposed to have the Silver Surfer. Maybe he'll do what he did in the comics and try and take the Silver Surfer's power. You know, that could certainly be a possibility right there, so who knows. And Dr. Doom had appearances in Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and Marvel Super Heroes, both of the Capcom fighting games. In my opinion, one of the best fighting series that Capcom has really ever made. And his character actually played pretty well in those games. So
wasn't there
he was actually a favorite of mine.
That in the last 6 to 8 months?
They
released an actual version that had all the Capcom and the SDK stuff?
I'm not quite sure about that, actually. Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was really the last one that I remember coming out, but I think it might have been released on Xbox Live. Maybe that was it.
Oh, okay.
But again, I'm not quite certain here about that, but definitely Marvel vs. Capcom 2, he was one of my favorite characters to use because he was incredibly cheap and I could kick ass with him, so.
It was just like me with the original Mortal Kombat using Kano because it was so easy to do that spin attack, you just turned the whole thing.
And also he's in Marvel Ultimate Alliance, he's voiced by Clive Reveal. There you have it with his video
game. I've looked at that a couple of times, and I've had my 2.5-year-old say, "Look, Spider-Man, Daddy, get it." What is it, X-Men Legends 2, and he points at Magneto and says, "Superman."
That's terrific. Oh, also, have you ever read PS238, the independent comic?
No.
Okay, well, there's a student, Victor Von Fogg, in that. And Victor Von Fogg's father is based on Dr. Doom.
Ah.
So that's close enough there, I guess. Victor Von Doom, Victor Von Fogg. That's a little thing to get off of Wikipedia there. And so many people have been influenced by Doom over the years.
Oh, I've had, in role-playing games that I've ran over the years, just that look, you know, someone that looks like that is really iconic, and putting that someone in front of you like that, it can make a real difference. So,
Definitely. And I think that actually one of my best my favorite interpretations of him was actually from the, and again, I might get flack for saying this, the 90s animated series. I very much enjoyed Dr. Doom in that, if only for the voice, because they picked the perfect voice for that, really. And actually, let me look up who it was, because I should have been prepared here. IMDb. All right, let's see who can find it first.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And Simon Templeton.
Yeah, John Vernon and Simon Templeton were the two people who actually voiced Dr. Doom. The first one was John Vernon in the 94, and then Simon Templeton in 95, 96. But actually, well, I liked the first voice better. That one definitely did it for me, but the second voice was good enough. But they had a decent enough interpretation of him. It felt like the comics, and I enjoyed it. So a much better interpretation than the movies, at least, that much I can say.
I just noticed that Ron Perlman did the Hulk, which is interesting since I've been enjoying him doing Hellboy.
And Mark Hamill played Maximus.
Yeah, Mark Hamill does everything.
Yes, he does.
So he'll always be remembered as the Joker.
Yes, definitely. So any final word on Dr. Doom before we wrap this baby up?
Dr. Doom, he's going to be here for the long run. Since he's actually going back to his mystical side of things as well, personally, I'd love to see his own title.
Yeah.
Just because he's got the history there. People are going to buy it. You know, not just a miniseries. I know there's been miniseries over the years. And, yeah, I reckon it would be great to see him in his own title and actually expanding on what his powers can do and what he's doing and what he's doing in Latveria and his world domination plans for the third time. So
only three times? I think it's been about 12 now. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. For recommendations, both for you and for the guys listening at home, if you want to learn more about Doom, I highly recommend Ed Brubaker's run on Books of Doom, which was a miniseries that came out a couple years back. I think it was actually about 2 years back. It was one of the first things Brubaker did for Marvel Comics before he started doing Cap and Daredevil and all that, and that was really, really well done. Pablo Raimondi does the art on that. It's a 6-issue miniseries, and it tells pretty much the origin of Doom and a little more about this character, and definitely go back and read Mark Waid's run on Fantastic Four, the issues. I believe it was starting with Fantastic Four number 500, I believe. A fantastic issue with Dr. Doom in it as well. It has a terrific Chronium cover also, because they were really into the whole Chronium cover thing. The director's cut has a Chronium cover. Oh, so there you go.
As I said, I've got Chromium covers still sealed that I never don't even know what the comic is because it actually didn't have the name on the front.
Terrific. That's the life of the 90s right there, man. That's the life of the 90s. But this one's definitely worth picking up, and if you can get the trade of Wade's run with Dr. Doom involved, that's definitely worth it there. So, yeah, anything you want to reveal to the public here, Damien, before we wrap things up?
Well, the next Rogues Gallery will be on The Shade. We're going back to DC, and we're going to do The Shade there. It's not really a reveal because I sent it to Sean in an email and he read it on Raging Bullets. Yep. So that's the next thing there. Also, there may be more of me going around.
Are you cloning yourself?
I'm going to be cloning myself, and just keep an eye out on things. There's a thread in the forum. Actually, anyone who's on the forums, you see my signature. It says coming soon, so expect something dark and nasty.
Oh, God. You're turning into Dr. Doom in real life, aren't you? You're going to take over the freaking world, man.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find something to scar my face, and I'll be right.
Oh, great. Terrific.
A two-year-old throw toys at me. No.
That could certainly do it, but yeah, definitely looking forward to your future endeavors, man, and always welcome here on the show, and can't wait to hear your take on The Shade, because The Shade, I've enjoyed him over the years, definitely.
I've got my miniseries from the 90s sitting next to the bed waiting for me to reread again, so I was waiting to get this one done before I read that and get into it. He's been one of my favorite characters from Starman, mainly.
Great.
He was very two-dimensional beforehand, but yeah. James Robinson just brought the best out in him.
Oh, James Robinson's fantastic. Anything he writes, I pick up. He's just brilliant. I got to go back and read some of the old Starman stuff. I only have the last volume, but that last volume was just absolutely outstanding, so I'll have to go back and read some more. When's that convention that hits Australia? Is that coming up soon? Or?
It's just been, actually. It was about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really? How'd it go for you?
Oh, it was brilliant. Actually had a good chat about Dr. Doom with Christian Gossett, who is the artist and writer of The Red Star, which came out from Image. I don't know how many people read that. He's done a lot of movie stuff. He did stuff on King Kong. He did a lot of the art stuff for Episode 1 of Star Wars. He's the actual person who designed the two-ended lightsaber. Which I found out afterwards, and yeah, I actually sat there. I was getting he actually did a sketch of Doctor Doom for me,
which that's really
is
cool.
Up in the forum, I posted in as well on the Comic Timing forum. Yeah, I became, you know, started to get pretty good friends with him just for the fact that he needed to use a phone and I had one in my pocket, so I let him use that. And I helped him hook up the TV for his PlayStation that he had for demoing a game that's coming out. And
That's a good way to get to be friends with somebody, man. Hooking up their PS2, you're automatically in the door.
Oh, it's just a matter of I was standing there. I sell the stuff for a living. I hook the stuff up for a living. I might as well help him out.
Definitely.
But, yeah, it was a great convention. We don't have many. That's the only one we get for the year.
Now, did you get any mentions in? Did you hand out business cards or anything for that Comic Timing thing that you're on, man?
Mentioned to a few people, actually. Now, there's a lot of Australian people that actually were interested in sharing their information.
Great.
But there's also other things in the works. I've become good friends with the guys from Revere, and I know that they're going to have some information coming up very soon, and I'm sure that they would want to come on Comic Timing.
Excellent, without a doubt, man. We'll be happy to have him, definitely, because Grant Bond seems like he's definitely a nice guy, so I'd love to have him on sometime soon.
Yeah, he did the new version of my avatar for me, so he did the new version of Lobo's avatar for him as well, if you haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Lobo giving up on the Lobotar after all these years.
Yeah, I thought he was going to go from one to the other to the next.
Ah, well, what are you going to do? But I guess he just wants that. But speaking of conventions, Comic Timing is brought to you by the New York Comic Con. New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has double the space with more gaming and anime for 2007. Come to the Jacob Javits Center February 23rd to 25th and experience the biggest pop culture event in New York City featuring comics, anime, manga, graphic novels, video games, trading card games, RPG, MMOs, toys, movies, TV, celebrities, and more. Guests of honor include Stan Lee, Jeff Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, and George Perez, and Ian Levenstein, and many more to be announced. For a complete list of guests, as well as show information, visit mycomiccon.com. Buy your tickets online now to ensure your spot for the 2007 show. Tickets are available now at a discounted rate for advanced purchases at mycomiccon.com. You can also book your travel arrangements online now on the travel page of the website. Don't miss out on the 2007 New York Comic Con. Visit our website to get all the information you need. And it has been confirmed that the Pop Cult Online will also be a part of the podcast arena at New York Comic Con. So a whole bunch of podcasters that everybody knows and love will be a part of that. So definitely hop on over to the NY Comic Con if you can. And I hope I just managed to make you a little bit jealous there.
I've been actually in the next couple of years, I might have to try to make it over for that one.
That would be great, man. It would definitely be nice to meet you one of these days, man. Without a doubt. How are you dealing with the jet lag? It'll be terrific.
Oh, it should be fun.
Yeah.
Get a few drinks into me, I'll be right.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, I mean, when Little Witch made it over here for CGS 200, wow, she went, I think, 26 hours straight without any sleep, so...
Well, it's a 15-hour flight to LA from us.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. From there, then you've got to go across to the other side of the country, and... I've been, yeah. You can drink on the plane for free.
You're a stronger man than I am, Damien. You're a stronger man than I am, without a doubt.
I'm getting older. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, your segment's not getting old, and that's what matters. And definitely thanks for number two, and I can't wait for number three, buddy.
Yeah, we'll try to get it, you know, a bit more regularly, too.
Definitely, without a doubt, yeah. We'll try to get that at least monthly going on. But the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out those forums over at cgspodcast.com/forum, which are graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. Please send us your iTunes review reviews on iTunes. That would be graciously appreciated. And please vote for us on Podcast Alley. The links will be in the show notes and on the main page, which has been recently redesigned. So if you want to check out the redesign of the Comic Timing page, just head on over to speakgeekspeak.com/comic timing. Check it on out, and I hope you guys enjoy it. And Damien, you want to give your email to the folks?
You can get me on radiofurnace@gmail.com. You can also get me on the message board under the name Lord Shaper, or you can go over to my website at lordshaper.com. So anywhere you can find me, so I'm around it, you know, most of the times. Also, one last thing for the listeners. If any of you guys want to hear about a certain villain, it doesn't have to be DC and Marvel. It can be any villain you want. I actually started a sketchbook up for just villains when I went to the convention a couple of weeks ago. And I had one of the artists actually did a really nice Boba Fett. So you name what you want and we'll get it up there. So
definitely, without a doubt. And also you have a recent interview with Dave Wachter, right?
Yes, I do. Up at my blog, which is LordShaper.vox. That's VOX.com.
All right. Excellent. So once again, Damien, thanks for joining me all the way from Australia.
Not a problem. Okay. Equinox, you can let your wife back in now.
Yeah, it's all good, buddy. She can come on back in the room. And as always, there's always time for comics.
I just started doing the survey.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very
much. It went to load the page, and it just came up blank. There was nothing there, and it was like, because I use script block.
Oh, okay.
It just blocked the page.
Terrific. Yeah, well, that's why, actually, to test out, you know, how my website looked, I had to whitelist all of the ads and all that in Firefox, because, or else, you know, it wouldn't come up exactly the way that I wanted to see, because, well, for anybody who doesn't whitelist stuff, then
use it. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so that way I wanted to make sure that things didn't look too terrible. And plus, also, it's always a good thing when people use the Google search bar or use the Amazon search bar or advertising, because that gives me money.
Yeah. Oh, I had AdSense taken off me at one point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we found out the best ones to put down for tech stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we made up pages. You'd have a page and all it was the word like wireless internet. And you'd put the ads on there and you'd just click them. And you'd get everybody to click on that page.
Oh, my God.
What was it I was listening to the other day? It might have been a Dignation, actually.
And really?
They were talking about an ad for a GPS. You would have seen it over there, where they had a Sherpa in the back yelling at the guy to turn left or to turn right, and say, no, our cars come with real GPS.
Oh, that's terrific. That's terrific. Yeah, I'll have to find that on YouTube.
You're gonna have to cut so much stuff out of this, aren't
you? Oh, come on, man! This is all for the end, man. This is all for the end.